Like it still works. So good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Today's daf is daf Nun Zayin in Chulin. Again, profound thanks to Stuart for doing the daf while I was gone. I had an excellent week away in Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina. Covered all three states. Okay. We're starting with the Mishnah. And we'll start as follows. Eksheres Ba'ov, the Mishnah now takes us through birds. Before telling us what's bad about birds, the Mishnah here is going to tell us what's good about birds. Meaning, bird also makes for a good meat dinner. But the what's good about birds, meaning what are things in birds, defects in the birds which are not going to be lethal to birds, which won't render the bird a treifa. So the Mishnah starts off nikvah hagargaris. If there's a hole in the gargaris in the windpipe. So a hole in the windpipe, much like an animal. In fact, Gemara later on is going to point out that really, anatomically, there are major differences between birds and an animal, but in terms of the halachas of treifos, there aren't that many differences between birds and animals. In fact, we're going to see and say over again and again today the statement of Rav, which is basically there are no differences between a bird and an animal. But with that in mind, however, nekuvas gargaris, if there's a hole in the windpipe, much more like we said by an animal, that's not a big deal. So by a bird, that's also not going to be a big deal. Oceanistica, if there's a stock or there's a crack in the windpipe also is not going to be a big deal. Okay. Hiksa chulda al rosha, if a weasel causes a bruise, I guess bites into the head of a bird. Makam shein oso, so treifa. If it does so in a place where it doesn't render the bird to be a treifa, so that would be fine as well. Okay, nikav hazefek. Okay. Bird has a crop. Okay, crop of the bird is a pouch. Now, bird doesn't have teeth; just a little bit of anatomy, if you will. Bird has no teeth, right? Bird has got a beak, and it just takes the food and plops it right into its esophagus. The food goes down the esophagus. And the first pouch that it gets to is a crop. A wonderful little picture over here of the crop of the bird. And there, that's basically where the chewing is done. Bird swallows some small little pebbles, small little stones, sends the stones down into the crop, and there, that's where the chewing is done. It's not done by teeth, but it's done rather by the grinding of the food together with these small pebbles. Okay?
And for some reason, the gargaris is the same word that they use to say veshek.
Gargaris is kane.
Kane.
Gargaris is kane. Right. No. It's a wind. You're right. No. I'm sorry. It's a windpipe. Right.
Gargaris
in the other Mishnah calls it a kana.
Oh,
okay. What? All right. Kana and gargaris are synonymous. Okay. Here.
Yeah. And you're right.
Yeah. Okay. So the it sends it down into the zephic. So this zephic is a little pouch where the chewing is done, where the breaking up of the food is done. Then, if you want more details, the food goes further down this food pipe, goes into the gizzard. Gizzard, I guess, is what we would call the stomach. And then the food is sent through the intestines of the bird. And here, in Tmune Chol, which is just a fantastic work that's done, so you have an excellent picture. He takes you through, if you look on page 78, he takes you through the entire GI tract of the bird, starting from the mouth all the way to the end, literally. Thank you. So the Mishnah says that if you have a nikav hazefek, if you have a hole in the zefek, so that's fine. Now, you have to understand, by the way, that's a big chiddush. But it's a big chiddush which we all really understand. Meaning that we are now talking about the zefek, we're talking about the crop. The crop is connected to the intestines / esophagus. Now, we know that the esophagus is a much more sensitive tube than the windpipe. The windpipe is a tube that's hard, made of cartilage, and a little hole in the windpipe is not a big deal. A hole in the esophagus will render an animal or a bird a treifa. So you understand what the chiddush is over here. Meaning, we're talking about a pouch that's connected to the esophagus, and we're not going to treat this pouch like the esophagus. Even though the pouch, I mean, you can see in the picture, even though the pouch, this zephic, the crop, is connected to the esophagus, nevertheless, we won't treat it like the esophagus. By the esophagus, even a nekuva, even a small little piercing of the esophagus renders the bird to be a treifa. But if you have a piercing in the zephic, that is not a treifa. Now, Rebbe goes even one step further. Rebbe has a bigger chiddush. Rebbe omer afil nital. Even if the crop is removed from the bird. Now, again, this is anatomy, and this is things that I do not know. But somehow, Rebbe's of the position that if you have a crop of the bird which is removed, So in other words, you have the entire GI tract of the bird, but the crop is removed. Rebbe says the bird's not even a trefa. Now that's a huge chiddush. The Gemara later on will question, do we paskin like Rebbe? And the Gemara is going to end off with, I'm not sure. We'll see that discussion in the Gemara in just a moment. But just understand, though, that's one step even above what we're saying. What we're saying, the Tanakhama's position is that a little piercing in the Zephik, that's not a big deal. Rebbe says even if the total removal of the Zephik, that's also fine. Yatsu b'nei me'eha v'lo nikvu. If, let's say you have intestines which are removed, okay? Again, going now back to the Mishnah, intestines, a piercing in the intestine, so that's nekuva, that's a nekev, so that's no good. But if you have a removal of the intestine, if there are actual parts of the intestine that are missing from the bird, again, that's fine. The bird still would be kasher. Nishtabru gaper, nishtabru regla. Now, if you have a break in either the gaf, which we're going to translate as the wing, okay, there could be another translation, but right now we'll translate the gaf as a wing. If you have a break in the wing or if you have a break in the leg, the Mishnah says that's fine. That would be fine. The bird's still going to be kosher. Nimritu knafeha. If you have a knaf, if you have a wing which is plucked off, so the Mishnah says that would be fine. Rabbi Yehuda omei nit lahanotz the psula. Rabbi Yehuda says if some of the down, some of the feathers have been removed, so then that would render the bird to be puzzle, according to Rabbi Yehuda. We'll talk more about that later on in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we'll start off with the Mish. We'll start off with the Braisa Maisa Rabbi Simai Rabbi Tzadok Shahachu Abishana Balut. They go and they do Ibrashana in the town of Lud. Okay, Yerushalayim is destroyed. They don't usually intercalation of the year, adding another month to the year in order to establish an Ibrashana, is done in Yerushalayim by the base in Yerushalayim. Obviously, we're talking about post-destruction of the Second Temple. They're now in the town of Lud, and they're looking to be Ma'abashana in the town of Lud. Vishavta ba'ono, and they spent Shabbos in Ono, v'hor b'tirpachas k'rebi b'zefek. And a shaila came down regarding a female animal that was missing a womb, right? What's the term for that? A uterus. What is it? A hysterectomy, right? When the womb is removed. Yeah. So female animal whose womb was removed, and they said it's kerebi bezefek. They said that that just like a rebbe says that a missing crop of a bird will not render the bird a trefa, So too, a missing womb of an animal will not render an animal a trefa. Okay? That is the psak that came down while Rabbi Simai and Rabbi Tzadok were stationed in Lud over Shabbos. Good. So, Ibayilahu. Now, when they said that, were they, I'm going to explain this according to Rashi. Tosfos doesn't go with this explanation, but in the meantime, I'm just going to explain it based on Rashi. Were they A? In other words, they clearly were poskening that a missing womb is okay, right? A female animal with a missing uterus is fine. That clearly they were saying. Were they also giving full approbation to the position of Rebbe? Meaning, were they nodding to Rebbe's position in our Mishnah? We know in our Mishnah it's controversial. The Tanakhama says that a missing crop is no good. Rebbe says that a missing crop is fine. Were they acknowledging the Rebbe's position, lahalacha? Or were they just simply making a comparison? Just like Rebbe says a missing crop is okay by a bird, so too a missing womb by a female animal is also okay. Not that we agree with Rebbe, but at least we understand we're going to make the comparison. So the Gemara asks exactly that question. Again, this is all according to Rashi. Ibailu. Hor b'tirpachas li'isura ki Rebbe b'zefek lehetera. Were they passing by the Tirpachas Le'isr, much like Rebbe was passing by Zefek Le'etera, Udimah, Hobe Tirpachas Le'etera, Kerebi B'Zefek, or were they passing Le'etera like Rebbe was passing like the Zefek? Aval Kerebi B'Zefek Lo'sfir Lehu, but not that they agree with Rebbe. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. So again, basically, again, according to Rashi, what comes out now is essentially the Gemara is asking, is a halach like Rebbe? Rebbe says that a missing crop in the bird is okay. The bird is not a trefa. The bird can somehow survive a missing crop. Do we paskin like Rebbe? So the Gemara says that's exactly the question, meaning Rebbe Simai and Rebbe Tzadok sounds like they're saying it, but the Gemara says unclear. Unclear if they were paskin like Rebbe or they were just simply making a comparison. Okay? Period, end of that discussion. Now, as I mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, the discussion of the Zefik really amounts to a big chiddush, because really the Zefik is part of the esophagus. Meaning when the bird ingests food, the food goes down the first tube, which is the esophagus, and then it goes into the crop. But the crop is really part of the esophagus. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that although the crop is part of the esophagus, halachically, we don't treat it like the esophagus. So how do I know that? Because if there's a piercing, if there's a nekev in the crop, so the Mishnah, according to everybody, the bird is not a trefa. Okay. The Gemara makes one qualification of this point. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Vitemer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Gago Shal Zefek, Nidon Keveshet. If we're talking about the roof of the crop, the roof of the crop is treated like the esophagus. Again, I turn to the good book. If you look on page 80, the roof of the crop, if you look at the crop hangs low. It hangs down from the esophagus. So when we're saying the roof, we're talking really about the dorsal side of the esophagus. We're talking about the dorsal side of the crop. That we're going to judge like the esophagus, meaning, just like by the esophagus, a nekev in the esophagus renders the bird a trefa. If I go to the crop, not to the pouch, but to the area that follows along the esophagus, the tube that follows along the esophagus. If I were to draw imaginary signs that run parallel with the esophagus through the crop, that area is going to be treated like the veshet. That'll be treated like the esophagus. Hecha amrabibi abarabaye koshen nimtach imo. Meaning, if you pull on the esophagus, the part of the crop that goes along with it, meaning that line, so to say, in the crop that follows the esophagus, that line will be treated like the esophagus. So basically now what we're going to do, what the Gemara just did, is it basically took the crop and it compartmentalized it. Meaning there's a pouch portion, and then there's a portion that runs along the backside. Meaning runs alongside the esophagus. But it's not a terminal end, though, because the food's going to continue.
Well, no, the end of the esophagus.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a trachea.
Meaning this point over here. Yeah. Right. So essentially, the way Rashi understands it, that this portion over here, the top portion, the dorsal portion of it, is still going to be considered esophagus-like. It's only this pouch portion, the lower portion, which has a special halacha, that a little piercing in it is not a big deal. And according to Rebbe, the entire removal of the Zefik is fine. Okay. Let's continue in the Gemara. Yatzu b'nei me'am, Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yitzchak, lo shanu ala shalom, hipech b'hem, aval hipech b'hem trefa. Okay. I don't fully understand this, and here, although this book is unbelievably helpful, here, I just don't fully understand this. We're talking now about an inversion of the intestines. Meaning, by the bird, a little removal of the intestines, that's fine. Right? If some of the intestines are missing, that's okay. But if you have a removal of the intestines, I'm sorry, but what the Gemara now is going to qualify is that if you have an inversion of the intestines, so the bird is going to be a trefa. Now, a couple points over here. Rashi tries to explain what inversion of the intestines are. I'm going to read Rashi. I'll try to explain Rashi. I don't fully understand it. Okay? Admission. Hipech behem Rashi writes, kishi hechnisan lesocho, hipech elyono letachtichto, o agula zula mala mikamusha haisa. I'm not 100% sure what Rashi means. The tops to the bottoms to the top.
The surgeon surgically inverted it and reconnected it.
I'm not sure. In other words,
like
you
pop it out like this, and then you push it back in.
Right, or it twists, or maybe it's twisted.
And you can die from
that. Okay, so that's good. That's very helpful. Now Tosfos over here, it's a bottom Tosfos, it's very short, but Tosfos over here helps us organize. Because remember, when we talk about trefas, remember there's always categories, meaning, and we cap ourselves at 18. There are only 18 categories of trefas. So when we're talking over here about the inversion of the intestines, we haven't discussed that before, meaning that's not a category of trefa that we talked. We talked about nekuva. We talked about chituch. Right? Where do we ever have this discussion of inversion? So Tosfos, if you look at the bottom Tosfos on the page, he writes, bechlal nekuve. When you categorize, we talk about inversion of the intestines. What category are you going to put it under? So Tosfos says, put it under puncture. Right? File this under puncture. Tosfos writes, demasnisen hu detaima mishum desofo linake velirkov. Right, Dan, this is very similar to what you were suggesting. That Tosus writes that when you have an inverted intestine, so what's going to happen is it's just not going to survive. There will be a puncture caused by its inversion, and so therefore, when you want to file this under Nekev. Good.
They're coming into a rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's correct. So, fine. So that is, that's how we're going to categorize it. So, aval hipach mehem trefa dechsev hu asacha v'chonenecha melamit shabar kadosh baruch hu konenios ba'adam. In fact, we have pipes in our body, and they're one-way pipes, meaning they're one-directional. And shem nepach achas mehem eno yachol achias. If there's any type of inversion in our pipes, so we wouldn't be able to live. Okay, so the Gemara bases this on a drasha. So good. So if you have an inversion in the pipes of the birds, right? Removal of the intestine, understand the chiddush. Removal of the intestines, that's okay. Right? If some of the intestine is missing, that's fine. But an inversion of the intestines, again, I don't fully understand what that means, but an inversion of the intestines, that's not fine. Tosos says we'll file it under Nekev, right? It'll lead to the demise of the bird. The bird is a trefa.
Which means they operated on the bird and they put it in battle.
I don't know.
They threw it back in, but they put it back in wrong.
I'm making the admission. I don't fully understand this. Tanya, Aya, Rebbe Meir, Omer, Huo, Sechavi, Choneneka. The Gemara, as long as the Gemara quoted this pasuk in Dvarim, Parshas Ha'azinu, so the Gemara says, the Gemara brings down another drasha. This is now just a little bit of drush. Right, karcha dekula bay, dekula bay, meaning we are kone. The Rashi explains the word konein can also come from the word kane base, meaning our base. Right, a kano. Kano is a base. Right, you have a cup with a base to it. Right, you have a menorah with a base to it. Right, kano is a base. The base of the Jewish people, the governing body of the Jewish people, is Jews. Meaning that the bracha that the Torah is speaking to is the idea that we have an autonomous government which is governed by ourselves. The Gemara goes on to explain. Kohanav Mimenu, Nevi of Mimenu, Sarav, I'm sorry, other way around. Mimenu Kohanav, Mimenu Neviav, Mimenu Sarav, Mimenu Malkayav. Everything, the Kohen, the Navi, the princes, the kings, are all produced by us. Right, no foreign influence is governing us. Again, when everything is going well, I would imagine. Shenamar mimenu panam mimenu yaseid. Okay, ready for this? I'll try. I don't know how good I'll do in terms of explaining this. Ha'u arma dechazyalu gavad anafal meigro la'ara paka karsev anafak ma'inei. Okay, emergency room anecdotes of the Gemara. Talk about trauma. There was a non-Jew who fell off the roof. Okay, so suffered a serious fall from the roof to the floor. Right, me igor la'ara parkakas karse, stomach opened up and nafuk mayane, and his intestines came out of his stomach. Okay, talk about trauma. Okay, real emergency room discussion now. Asya lebrei v'shachti kamei. So the arma'a, this non-Jew who saw this, so he performed some non-conventional surgery. Very non-conventional. Now, what he wanted to do, let me just describe it first from the goal, and then I'll talk about how he actually did it. The goal was basically he wanted the guy to get... He didn't want to just stuff the intestines back in, because as we just learned, an inversion of the intestines is no good. So he wanted the intestines to go back into his stomach, but he wanted the patient to, so to say, swallow the intestines himself. And he did not want to manipulate the intestines and just simply shove the intestines back in. So what he was going to do is provide stress, unbelievable stress to the patient, who already was suffering from a lot of stress. So what he's going to do is provide unbelievable stress to the patient so that this patient would, so to say, swallow the intestines back in, and by doing so, the intestines would fall back in its normal path. Okay. Now, I know I have a, Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of doctors here in the room. Okay, so I yield. I will yield. Okay. So it makes sense based on the story that we're about to read.
Right.
So how does he do that? Meaning, he wants this patient. Now, this patient, right, sitting there in the emergency room, right, stomach open, intestines are hanging out. So, by the way, what do they do? It's just, I guess I have so many doctors over here. I'm just curious. They just put it back in.
But usually it doesn't happen like that.
It doesn't.
It's like a common occurrence.
Not a common occurrence.
Yeah, only
Okay. So what he did now, in order to cause the stress to the patient, is that he took the victim, right, the patient's son, and pretended like he was killing him, right? Right. Asya Labre took his son, b'shachta kamein, shachted in front of him, b'achiza seinayim, but only as an illusion. Okay. In Gid. So now, this patient who was sitting there on the table, can you imagine, now thinks that his son is being killed right in front of his eyes. So Ingrid, he stretches himself out, I guess as some sort of reflexive reaction.
I've been shocked.
Right.
Like
the isnech, and he lets out, it's pretty much what you described, he lets out some sort of cry. Ol lemayne v'chayte lekarse. So now, because he stretches himself out, intestines come right back in. A little bit of stitching describes the Gemara, right? Chayte lekarse, right? Chayte is a tailor, right? A little bit of stitching, and the guy was healed. The purpose of the story, right, is basically to help us understand, again, to the degree that I can, help us understand this, how significant it is not to have this inverted intestines, not to have hipuch of the ma'ayin.
Yeah,
right, correct. When you say Asher Yatzer now you understand. Nishtabu Raglah, we move on now. We're talking now about the broken leg of a bird. Now remember, our Mishnah says Nishtabu Raglah, broken leg of the bird, kasha. Right, though that falls under the category of the bird's going to be a bird is fine. It's not a trefa. Hahut sana de inkeri de asil kamen de Rava. There was a basket of birds that were brought in front of Rava. Badke Rava b'tzomas hagidim v'achshere. Rava checked tzomas hagidim. Juncture of sinews. Okay, look in the good book, and you will find. Let me turn and face me. And you will find an excellent picture of the juncture of the sinews, just not here. It's back. It's
common tendons.
Right, the common tendons. If you turn to, it's coming up. It's on page 94 in the Tmune Chol. If you have it, it's a little bit up ahead. So right, there are a number of sinews that attach the leg to the foot. Right. The Gemara writes that there are 16. We are not, and this is not me saying this, this is the Rama saying this, we're not proficient at identifying them. But just an excellent picture in 94 of the Tzomen Hagidim. 94 in the good book, in Tzmun Echol. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. So, the Gemara says, so he checked it. So this is what Rav did. Sorry, Rava. Rava checked the Tzomas Hagidim V'Achshere. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shmutas Yad Be'Behem Ksheira. If I have a dislocation of the foreleg of an animal that's kosher, Shmutas Yerech Bo'ov Trefa. If I have a dislocation of the Yerech, of the thigh of the bird will be a Trefa. Shmutas Gaf Bo'ov Trefa. If I have a dislocation of the Gaf. Now, Rashi explains that Gaf is the wing. Okay, yeah, right. The little flegel of the bird, right? So if there's a dislocation of the wing, so the bird is a trefa. Why? So the Gemara says because that is symptomatic of perhaps a nekev in the rea of a piercing of the lung. Now he has, if you look at the second section of Tmun Echol, he has an excellent discussion. I'm not going to go over it now. Where if you look anatomically and you look carefully at the bird, you will see that it's not precise, meaning that the juncture of the wing is not directly in line with the lung. And even though Rashi says that the gaf that the Gemara here is describing is the wing, it's a little bit problematic that because the Gemara makes a clear correlation between wing and lung. If the wing is dislocated, that means that there's a piercing of the lung. That's what the Gemara says. And according to Rashi, the gaf is the wing. It doesn't line up precisely. He, the author of Tumun Echol, goes through a defense of Rashi. Okay, you could see it for it on your own. I gotta move. Now that Stuart got us back up to pace, I want to keep the pace. But just take a look over there for that discussion. It's very good. Okay, he really knows his stuff. Okay, so Shmuel says Gabov Treifa Chayshin Shem Nikva Hare Ushmul Amarti Badek. Now Shmuel says no, meaning, what are you worried about? Are you worried about a puncture of the lung? Okay, so do an examination. Meaning, shech the bird, open it up, take the lung out, and just do an examination. And Rashi over here gives us a very simple solution. How do you examine the lung? Very simple. Right? Hold it. I know this is, right? Try this at home. I know you can't be faint of mouth, or faint of heart, but you basically hold the lung in your hands holding it from the trachea, blow in the trachea, and see. Right? It's like a tire. Well, tire is going to be a little hard to blow up with your mouth, but it's like a tire. If there's a puncture in the lung, you'll hear the air come out. You'll hear a leak in the lung. Good. So Shmuel Amar Tibadek, V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan, and Tibadek, and Rav Yochanan says the same thing also. Dislocated wing doesn't mean the bird is a treifa. It just simply means now you need to do a bedika on the lung, do an examination on the lung. Chizkia Amar Ein Re'alov. Now Chizkia makes a statement which at first glance, and quite honestly at the final glance, is bizarre. And that is, Chizkia says, birds don't have lungs. Okay, wait on it. Okay. Ein rea lov. Rav Yochanan amar yesh lov yeshna ka'alei shalveret bein agapim. And Rav Yochanan says, no, that's not true. There is a lung to a bird. It looks like a rose petal. And it's right between the two wings. Again, I was using the Rashi explanation. The word agafim is the wings. Okay. Now, Rav Yochanan, I think we can understand, it's somewhat defensible. He says that birds have lungs. Chizki, on the other hand, says that birds don't have lungs. Okay. That's difficult to understand. Elema delays like cloud. The Gemara now makes an attempt to understand, what did Chizkia mean? Do you want to tell me that Chizkia means that birds don't have lungs at all? Difficult, impossible to understand literally. V'haka chazina deislay. Because we all know, you shech the bird, you open it up, you're going to find lungs. Okay. Ela delo mitrav bay. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what Chizkia meant is that legally they're not lungs, meaning he's not arguing whether birds have lungs or don't have lungs. We all know. Maybe what Chizkia is saying is that even though there are lungs inside the chest, the cavity of a bird, but they don't legally function as lungs. Meaning that by lungs we know nekev in the lung renders an animal treifa. What Chizkia is saying is not by birds. By birds, that's not true. So the Gemara says, but that's incorrect. V'hatini levi treifa shemanu chachamim bebehema kenegdem ba'of. The same treifas that we have by animals are true by birds. Yes, or lam of nishbar ha'etzem. Afa pishaloni krum shalmoach. The only thing is, by birds you actually have more. Meaning that if you have a puncture in the skull of the bird, that will render the bird a treifa, even though the membrane of the brain, remember we talked about that right before I took a little leave of absence, but the membrane of the brain, that is, even if that's still intact, the bird is a treifa. So in other words, but everything you have by animals is true by birds. So you can't tell me that lungs don't behave in the world of treifas by birds the same way they do by animals. Ella, ein lo lo li napel v'lo li chamer. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe what Chizkia meant was, is that if the bird falls, remember we said by an animal, if an animal falls, the animal's a treifa, right? That's one of the Yud Ches Trefas that we discussed in the beginning of the third parak. Maybe that's not true by birds. Or, maybe that's one possibility, or yesterday's daf, we talked about a bird suffering a fire, right, some sort of burn, And we talked about the discoloration of the organs turning turning greenish in color, meaning red organs turning green, right? That was we discussed yesterday. So birds are not subject to that. Maybe that's what Chizkiya meant. My time, I'm Rav Chana Rehova, V'rov Salosa, Miginos Aleha. Because its lungs are better encased in the ribs, and so therefore it receives more protection from the ribs. The Gemara says that's also not true. V'hamadam Rav Yochanan Yeshla V'yeshna Kalei Shalver Bein Agafayim Mechlad Chizkiya Saved Aleislei. The Gemara says, look, we're trying to defend Chizkiya, which is very noble. But if you look at the discussion and at the dialogue between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan, Chizkiya says birds don't have lungs. And Rav Yochanan's response is, sure they do. They're like rose petals, meaning both in size and in color. And that's where you're going to find them inside the cavity of the bird. By Rav Yochanan's response to Chizkiya, you see that Chizkiya maintained that they don't have lungs. And the Gemara therefore comes to the conclusion, Ella, Amri b'marava mishmed Rav Yos, Rabbi Chanina mitvar shal b'rebi, nikar she'ena baki b'tarnagolin. When Chizkiya makes a statement, we know that when it comes to birds, Chizkiya is not an expert. Okay? Rather remarkable statement of the Gemara, but the Gemara makes full recognition that Chizkiya made a statement which is unsupportable. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Chizkiya actually maintained that there were no lungs in a bird. Again, it's hard to understand how he maintained that. The Gemara tried to defend his position. Maybe he meant that they had lungs, but they were halachically different.
Maybe he meant that they couldn't be punctured because of the wings.
The rib cage.
Maybe he was like trying to distinguish that there was no connection.
Right, meaning... I'm not sure if
the context of the discussion.
Correct. I'm not sure if the discussion is over, but the Gemara said, quotes the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael and said, look, in Eretz Yisrael, you know what they say? Chizkiya doesn't know. In the world of birds, Chizkiya doesn't really know his stuff. Okay. I would be much more comfortable trying to defend Chizkiya and trying to understand it differently, but the Gemara says it. That's the only thing that gives me the right to repeat it. I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rav. Shmutas Yerech Ba'ov Ksherah. Dislocation of a leg of a bird is kosher. Now, you think about that statement, you realize that's an extraordinarily controversial statement. We talk about dislocation of an animal, right? The leg of an animal, the Gemara says that's a trefa. The Gemara goes right away into questioning this position. Amale Rabba Baravun La Rav Huna Baharabana Dasmi Pupadisa Amru Rav Yehuda Mishmeda Rav Amru Shmutas Yerech Ba'ov Trefa. Not only are we going to ask a question, we're going to ask a question based on a statement quoted in the name of Rav, where Rav says that a dislocated leg of a bird is a trefa. So, Amrle, Bari, Nahara, Nahara, Pashte. Now, this comment of the Gemara, Nahara, Nahara, Pashte, usually means different people have different menhagim. In Brachos, right? The Gemara says, Nahara, Nahara, Pashte. Oh, what's the issue over there? Oh, I can't believe I forgot. No, that's not true. I can believe. But, whoa. Oh, I forgot. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara has this phrase, Naru Naru Pashte, which means that there's no absolute on this particular issue. Different people have different menhagim. That's not how Rashi explains it. If you look at Rashi, I'm going to read it quickly. Rashi writes, Ein Pashte Hanar Domim Zechariv Vezeh Omeid. You look at different rivers. Rivers don't flow the same. Some rivers flow fast. Some rivers don't flow at all. Kach ein minaga mekamos domos. Different communities follow different minhagim. V'rav ksheres viralei. Rashi goes on further to explain. Rav really believes, meaning if you ask him, dislocated leg of a bird, right? His position is, it's fine. Rav really believes it's kasher. V'rav ben epum padisa and shenago bo iser v'lo hitiru bifneihem. Now, in the town of Pumbedisa, they were machmir. Rav didn't want to upset the minhag of Pumbedisa. So whenever Rav went into the town of Pumbedisa and they said, oh, dislocated leg of a bird, oh, that's a trefa, Rav remained silent. So people who from Pumbedisa actually thought Rav was being machmir. Rav Yehuda min Pumbedisa hava v'savad Rav trefa svirlei. And now Rav Yehuda, who was from Pumbedisa, so whenever he experienced Rav said, oh, a dislocated leg of a bird? Oh, it's treif. So he thought that that's how Rav actually felt, but no, Rav was just simply being respectful of the minug of Pumbedisa, but that's not Rav, how Rav actually felt. Lahalacha. Back to the Gemara. Azal Rabbi Abba Ashka, Chala Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Dekah, Badik B'tzamas Agidin. So, they found Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba doing an investigation, examination of the Tzamas Agidin, the junction of the sinews, of the leg. Amalei, Lamalei, Lamarku, Lehai, V'ha Ravun, Amrash, Mutas, Yerach, Bov, Chera? Why do you need to even do that? Meaning, you're looking at a connection of sinew from the leg to the foot. I'll tell you the truth. Even if the leg is dislocated, Rav says it's kosher. So what do you, you don't even need, you're checking the sinews. I'm telling you, even if it's dislocated, it's fine. So Amalei, Anamasisa Yadana. So he says, look, I'm glad you're quoting Rav. But all I know is a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Behemesha nichtechu raglam in arkuvala matak shera. Remember what we said, that an animal, now we're not talking about a bird, but it doesn't matter, as we'll see in just a moment. An animal whose leg is cut, and the cut is above the knee. Remember the two knees of an animal, we're talking about the upper knee. If the cut is above the knee, so the animal is rendered a trefa, that animal will not survive. That is a terminal condition. And if the tzomas agidin, if the juncture of sinews has been disrupted, so then the animal is in fact going to be a trefa. The Amar Rav Allah, now listen carefully, because Rav says regarding that Mishnah, v'chein ba'of. Everything we said regarding an animal is true by a bird. And this is Rav talking. So now, the Gemara is about to point out, Rav seems to be arguing with Rav. But leave that alone for just a moment, the Mishnah, and Rav says, whatever the Mishnah said by an animal, is true by a bird. Ihachi kashya derav ad derav. So the Gemara says, so now we have a stira between Rav and Rav, ishtik. So the Gemara says, I don't know how to deal with. But what's clear, however, is that at least according to the Mishnah, and Rav says that whatever is true by an animal is true by a bird, dislocation of the leg, cutting off of the leg, rupturing of the sinews, the tzomas agidin, all will render the bird a trefa. So Amalei Dilma Shanalei Ben Shmut Lechatucha. Well, maybe we can make a distinction between dislocation versus the cutting. Meaning the Mishnah is talking about the cutting off of the leg. Okay? We're there, there's bleeding, right? You're cutting off nerves. But maybe we can make a distinction between cutting of the leg and the dislocation of the leg. Okay. Now the Gemara says, now we're talking. Amalei Va'at Mefarshet Shmaita D'Rav. Good. You're saying this to explain Rav. Beferish Amar Rav. I happen to know Rav said that explicitly. Shmuta kasher chatucha psula. That dislocation, that's okay. The leg cut off, that's pasul. The al titma sharechot chamikan umesa chot chamikan vechaisa. The Gemara uses this expression again and again. Don't, meaning what happens in one area of the animal slash bird, doesn't, in one place would render the bird a trefa, in another place would be fine. So in other words, you can't compare dislocation to a cutting off of the leg.
But dislocation with a breaking of a sinew would be trefa.
The sinew would be an issue. Kisalag Rabbi Abba Ashkechel Rabbi Zer Diyasev Kamaram Rabbuna Amarav Shmutas Yerach Bov Trefa. They quoted Rav as saying that the dislocated leg of a bird is a trefa. That's not true. The moment that he came here, Havalan Pifkon Peh, Kame de Rav Huna, I had a conversation with Rav Huna, Vishaline Vamarlan, Shmutas Yerach Bov Kshera, and he said that's not true. Dislocation of a leg of a bird is kosher. And the Gemara now will go through the same exact discussion that we just had. Hold tight, I'm going to go quickly through this. She was checking the sinew, the juncture of sinews of the leg of a bird. What's the big deal? Dislocated leg is kosher. What do you mean? I'm holding by the Mishnah. Now Rav said regarding the Mishnah, that whatever is true by an animal is true by a bird. So again, same position. By an animal, sinews being disrupted, sinews being cut, animals are trefa. We're going to say the same thing is true by a bird as well. The doesn't this make it and now a contradiction between Rav and Rav? So at first there was silence. Maybe there's a difference between dislocated leg versus a cut leg. The Amri leave at mefarshes meisa the Rav beferish amarav. Again, same story. Rav said it explicitly to me. Shmuta ksher chatucha psula va'at ma biyadecha hachi Amri Rabbi Chiya. I'm sorry. Pause. Okay. Difference between dislocate versus cut. Va'at ma biyadecha. Now, what do you know? Hachi Amri Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amri Rav shmuta sirach ba'ov treifa v'chein Amri Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi Amri Rabbi Yochanan shmuta sirach ba'ov treifa. Now, I have a tradition that Rav said that a dislocated leg of a bird is a treifa. If Rav Yochanan would have seen someone been makel on this, meaning a bird that suffered a dislocated leg, Rav Yochanan, and someone would have paskin in front of Rav Yochanan and said, it's fine, lo parchis. Rav Yochanan would not have flinched. The Amr Rabbi Chanina, Amr Rabbi Shmuta Sirach, both Kshera, V'tarnagol HaSaisal of the Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina had a bird, Shenishpata Yerach Shalah. The leg was dislocated. Now we're going in front of Rebbe, meaning this is now, right, it's Rav's Rebbe. Well, Rav's Rebbe is actually Rebbe Chia. Rav's Rebbe's Rebbe. Or let's say it like that, who happens to be Rebbe. Vihitiralo, and Rebbe says dislocated leg is fine. Umacha Rebbe Chanina. Now Rebbe Chanina got so excited that what he did is he preserved. Now, back then, preservation was done through salt. Salted the leg, preserved the leg. V'havei moribo halacha l'talmidim. Zehetu l'rebi, zehetu l'rebi. And he went around and he showed everybody, look, here it is, dislocated leg. I took this bird, meaning he preserved it for years. I took this bird, I showed it to Rebbe, and Rebbe says it's fine. Okay, where are we right now? Meaning, I just read a lot of Gemara. Dislocated leg, controversial. Rav is quoted sometimes as saying it's fine. Rav is quoted sometimes as saying it's not fine. Rav himself seems to have a contradiction within himself. The Gemara presents the position of Rebbe, which is it's fine. The Gemara says the halacha does not follow any of the above. Ela ki hadashal Rebbe Yosef bar Nahu es Rebbe Yishu ben Levi kederes kana bekama. So the Gemara says. Right. There was a dialogue between Rabbi Yossi ben Arai and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We talk about an opening in the windpipe. Now remember, windpipe. Piercing of windpipe, not a big deal. Severing of the windpipe, right? Laceration in the windpipe, we're talking about not running down the windpipe, running across the windpipe, majority. What if there's a hole in the windpipe? Not a piercing, but a significant hole. So, they asked the question to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kederes kana bekama, Amar lo, Mishashleima shaninu. So his response is, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah, right? Ad ki isar ha'italki. We said in the Mishnah, we quoted the Mishnah a couple days ago, if it's a coin, the Italian, right, the isar ha'italki, the Italian isar, if the hole is up to that size, the animal's fine. Any bigger than that, and the animal's a treifa. He says, wait a second. We actually have a sheep and who had a hole in the windpipe and it was a size of the Isar Italki. What we did is we put a reed over that hole and the sheep went on to live. And he says, okay, so you do a little emergency medicine and all of a sudden that now you're paskening. That, right? Now, he says, look, a little emergency room patch-up will not dictate the halacha. How do I know that? And here's why we bring this whole discussion in right now, because I'm telling you that a dislocated leg of a bird is a treifa. And you're going to tell me, oh, but we have an anecdotal story. Right? There was a chicken that was owned by Rabbi Shimon ben Chalavta. And the leg got dislocated. and did a little emergency room stitching, a little splint, and the bird went on to live. So, yeah, it went on to live, but not another 12 more months. Meaning, it's a trefa. The bird's going to die. Okay, so the splint was able to help it out a little bit, but it's still a trefa. So too over here, your animal, your rachel, your sheep, that had the hole in the trachea, and the hole was bigger than the isar italki, and you patched it up, it's temp. It's just a temporary patch. Right? Animal's not going to live. The animal's still a trefa. Amru alav, al Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta sh'askan bidvarim haya. V'haya osa davar lahotzi melibo shel Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. They described Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta as askan bidvarim. Yep, let's do this. And the Gemara says, and he did so only to help reassure Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Gemara goes on to explain. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the notza, if the down of the bird has been removed, the bird is in fact pusel. It's no good. And what Shimon ben Chalafta did is that he had a bird whose down was removed, and he took this bird and he put it in the oven. Okay. And he put some sort of shmata on the area where the down was removed. And new down grew on the bird. Okay. So now you see that he was able to regenerate down. He was able to regenerate feathers of the bird. Now, the Gemara says, so what? Meaning, it could very well be that the bird's a trefa, and it could be that a trefa can experience a temporary improvement of condition. Meaning, a trefa is a terminal condition. A trefa will die. Right? And let's even assume that a trefa will die within 12 months. But it could very well be that within those 12 months, it will suffer a temporary improvement of condition. Okay? So, and it could very well be that, yeah, new down grew, but the bird is still a trefa. Now, my askan bidvarim. Now, we describe Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta as an askan bidvarim. Okay, what did he do to deserve such a title? Amar misharsha dechsev. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishle. Lech el nemala. Atzel ra'adar kacha v'chacham asher ein lo katsin shoter u'moshel. Tachin b'kayit lachma. The pasuk in Mishle says, look at the ant. The ant is wise, and it doesn't have a ruler, and it does not have a king. Somehow the ants know what to do, even though no one's telling the ant what to do. Okay? And the Gemara Amar, and now this is Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. He says, yeah, let me see if this is really true. Now, Tosos is bothered by the fact that you have a Pasuk in Mishle. The Pasuk in Mishle says as a fact that in the ant world, there is no king. There's no leader in the ant world. Right? That's what the Pasuk in Mishle says. And what Rav Shimon ben Chalafta is doing is outright questioning the validity of this Pasuk. Tosas says, you're not allowed to do that. Tosas quotes the Gemara Baba Basra, second to last Tosas on the page. So you cannot be melagleg al divrei chachamim, meaning if the chachamim say something, you cannot just simply scoff at what the chachamim say. Now here, it's more than just a chachamim. Shlomo HaMelech writing this in Sefer Mishle. So Tosas suggests, Shani hacha shebalavar hadavar laodia eich yada Shlomo. So Tosas' answer is, he wasn't questioning whether Shlomo was right or not. He knew Shlomo was right. He was going to try to ascertain, how did Shlomo HaMelech arrive at this conclusion? Okay. So here's what he did. A little a little scientific discovery on the part of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, which gave him the title of Askan Bidvarim. Okay. Also, B'tkufa Thomas, he goes in the summertime, Parsel Leglima Akina de Shum Shamani. So what he does is he casts a shadow over an anthill. Nafak Asa Chadminai. One of the ants come out. Now, ants do not like sun. They enjoy shade. So one of the ants come out. Asnach Beisimana. Now, what Shimon ben Chalafta does is he marks this ant, the one ant that came out. Al Amaluhu Nafatula. Now, the ant goes back in to the anthill and lets the word out. You know, it's safe to go out of the anthill because there's shade provided. So, Nafku Va'asu Dale Lig. I'm sorry. Nafku Va'asu Dale Liglime Nafal Shimsha. So now all the ants come out. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta removes the shade, and now all these ants are hit directly by the sun. These ants are bothered. Naflu ala v'katle. Not only are they bothered, but they got bad information. So they go to the scout, and he knows that it's the scout because he, Shimon ben Chalafta, marked off this ant who was the scout, and they killed this ant. The other ants kill this ant. Amar, so Shimon ben Chalafta says, Shema mina leislu malka. You see that ants don't have a king. The isle harmana de malka lo libau. Because what they did is they executed justice without asking anybody. Meaning, they didn't seek counsel before they killed the scout. They just simply killed the scout. Ants are a community who know how to basically police themselves, and they don't need a king. Okay. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Meaning, you can run the entire experiment that Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta did, and you don't have to arrive at that conclusion. Dilma, makahava behadayhu. The Gemara suggests, number one, maybe the king was with them. Okay, so could be that the king was amongst the group. Inami hamana de makahava nekite. Or maybe they did get permission from the king, meaning the king wasn't there, but he handed a little note, the ant edict. Inami be makala makahave, or they were between kings. Okay, takes time for the ants to pick a new king. Dichsim bayamim ahim a melch beisol isha yashar beinav yaaseh. We find that time and again in Sefer Shoftim that we find ourselves between kings, between rulers. Ela samuch ahemnusa de shlomo. So the Gemara says we have nothing left to do but just simply rely on the wisdom and the emunus of Shlomo HaMelech. Okay. All right. We did good today. Okay. So the new Mishnah. The Mishnah described what's kosher by a bird. Okay. Certain conditions in a bird which are unique because of the simple anatomy of the bird. The Gemara questioned whether or not a removal of the zephic would make the bird a treifa. Rebbe says even a total removal of the zephyr would still make the bird acceptable. It would still be kosher. Do we pass like Rebbe? The Gemara leaves that question off unresolved. And a good part of today focused around the shmutas yerech, the dislocation of the leg of a bird, which as we saw was unbelievably controversial. Rebbe said it was okay. The Gemara's conclusion is that a dislocated leg of a bird is not okay. It would render the bird a treifa. We stop today, we'll continue tomorrow.